It's Tuesday afternoon, March 22nd.
Bless our time together today, that your light from heaven would shine on your word, and it would be, that it would flow amongst us by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I took one of those visions from that, or whatever it was, that Twilight had. And I put some lines in it, and I'm going to give it to Mary. And Mary and Dale have a Bible that they just got. And it was found in the Catholic Church, or the Catholic, you know, the priest that's been creating problems. Are you familiar with it? Or the Pope?
Oh, yeah, sure enough.
And anyway, he dug into the files on the, you know, way back when, and they found some strange things. Like they found a Hebrew manuscript. It wasn't written in Latin. It wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. And they discovered that Matthew 28:19 isn't even in it. Mm-hmm. 28:18 is, but 28:19 wasn't even in it. And I'd like to have them tell me about a lot of other things. If it's really a Hebrew, but you see, it doesn't fit the Catholic doctrines,
right.
And so you can't use that. You've got to have something that fits the Catholic Church.
That's right.
And a lot of people are getting real squeezy over it, you know, real queasy. I don't know what the right word is, but real afraid to say too much about it. But something happened to me last Sunday when you were talking. And I realize what has happened to us as a church. We have moved into the white area of that vision. Or we're moving into it. And do you remember the little white room? And anyway, and when you talked, you were telling about your own thing, and I thought that describes any one of us. You know, God had done a miraculous thing through His Word. But isn't that what the Word does? That's what it does. You know, it's a sword of the Spirit. It cuts, it changes, it does what is needed to be done by God. It's a sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sword of the Spirit. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of Keith Gunn and Ken Betcher. And I mean, we use it by the Spirit, but it's not something that we came up with or can come up with. You know what I mean?
Right.
And but anyway, there's something happening in the church, and it's a freedom. There's something that's going to affect people. And I really felt it Sunday when we were having whatever we were doing.
Campfire.
Huh?
Campfire.
Yeah.
Our spiritual campfire.
Mm.
You know what I'd say as a suggestion to everyone is just take time, stop, and think about where you started and where you are now and how much God was in there.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of forget. Yeah, I went here, and then I went here, and then we moved, and then we... But it's all orchestrated by God.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when we were, I think we were here. Yeah, I think it was a Sunday night. And somebody was talking, and all of a sudden, I went back to where, how I started, and just, geez, God, you know, God was totally directing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them, and a lot of it wasn't normal, like a lot of people, or, well, a lot of it was done just with me personally at home or whatever, you know. It wasn't done in a church setting necessarily to start. And it, you know, but like I said, when Pam and I walked in the first time into that church and the organ was playing and stuff, and it was just like there was almost an aura. And you could, it just was like a warm feeling. And, you know, you don't want to put a lot on, you know, something like that, but God was in it. His spirit was doing a work, you know. It was kind of saying, this is where I'm going to put you for a while, you know, till you grow and need to move on.
Yes. Like many things, there's a double-edged sword there. You don't want to be falling over emotional things for what feels good on the same hand. On the other hand, you do not want to be missing God's presence.
Right.
And we go back and forth as to how, okay, is this physical or is this spiritual? You know, and so it's easy to get tripped up then if you're not being diligent. On the other hand, when you know and God's talking to you, not a lot of better stuff.
And I think now if we look at it, we can see that, you know, we had a lot of the presence that we wanted. And God honored it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit, it would move in ways, you know, in the services. You know, it was, and you felt stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the last who knows how many years, all of a sudden we've realized how God has been moving in a more profound way individually through his word. I mean, the word, you know, because we've noticed, well, that's got to be God because I never saw that before. And it's not a physical emotion. It's an enlightening of truth, you know. And so pretty soon, I think he's going to let it all come loose, you know. I'm looking forward to that. Because I love the presence when it's there, you know.
And it would be good to have it welded to the truth.
Yes, yeah.
Right now it feels good. Not necessarily that there is that welding to the truth. But when those two things are in combined with each other.
Yeah.
And the reason why it feels so good is because it is welded to the truth. That will be a great thing.
I remember for a while there, you know, some of it was while I was still in the cities and then here too, though. And I would be going along and I would have to pull over because I was just feeling the presence of the Lord, you know, probably had a thought and then he just... And weep sometimes, you know, and stuff. It's, you know, and some of that hasn't been there near as much in the last quite a few years. Occasionally, you know. And I don't know, it might be some me shutting some, without knowing, have shut, kind of got, you know, just got too whatever in a certain way. And that hasn't been as open, you know.
Well, we have seasons.
Yeah.
Combination of things.
Right. Yeah. But that's an awesome thing, you know.
Amen.
And it's I always felt, I mean, not bad, I don't know what the word would be, sad that more people hadn't experienced that. Because that, when you have stuff like that, it's hard to turn away, you know.
For whatever reason, God does what he does.
I know.
Times, I don't know.
Yeah.
He knows better. But
I mean, you think, oh, probably should have prayed more for that for people. But I don't know.
I don't know. You know, sometimes, you know, magnet sticks to metal. It does not stick to wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really a tough spot. Because God's going to do what God's going to do. And, I mean, on one hand, it's certainly reasonable to wish that God would show that love and mercy on more people. Or, you know, at least you would see that he did that. But the flip side of that is God never makes any mistakes. So, like, well, okay.
What grace can seem mighty arbitrary from our own,
you know,
from our earthward, you know, point of view.
Yeah, Susan.
You know, probably all makes sense in heaven, but not here.
Susan was sharing a dream, or she read something or saw something, but it was, we were talking the other day, and like everybody was kind of walking around with their scroll, their personal scroll of, you know, the good they have done and the things and people they knew and you know, without trying to go through the whole thing, but what ended up striking her was there were people that you kind of thought would have these very long scrolls and not so much, and these people who you would think didn't have a whole lot to offer in the way of what God thought was good had these immensely long scrolls, you know, and the scrolls were kind of like the things that God felt were good things, you know, and it's like, you know, there's this joke that runs around like, you know, we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be surprised at who's there and who's not there. It's like, made it, huh? Didn't see that coming, and so-and-so's not here. Didn't see that coming either. You know, and it's, and I
can't. Did Susan see this?
I think she either was having a dream or something. I'm not sure. I can't remember because we were talking about it.
It wasn't something she read, though, you don't think?
I can't remember.
Something in the nature of a vision or a dream or whatever.
I don't even want to go that far. I suggested that she talk about it Sunday, and she said, nah. So, but I thought it was pretty good. And I thought it was, because it was, there's a concept there. I mean, basically the action required is that we need to be constantly seeking God, because we probably will be surprised in both directions. You know, it's just kind of a warning, like, don't rest on your laurels, and even what appears to be good might not be as good as it appears.
The thing that's been on my mind a lot recently is for him to expand my capacity to receive him when he is, his love, you know, expand my capacity for love for him, you know, that heaven, both ways, you know, both ways.
Yeah.
Expand that thing. And burn up idols too, of course, but which is connected.
Well, that's interesting. And along those lines, Jesus was a man, and yet within that man, the fullness of God could dwell. Which says, if you're a man or a woman, the fullness of God could dwell within you. Because on one hand, we say, well, how could we possibly comprehend God? Because he's God and we're not. On the other side, the fullness of God could dwell within Christ. Now, and, you know, and even natural scientists say that we use so little of our brain. you know, and it's just, so there's a lot of capacity there that the Lord could, that our Father could tap and say, you know, here you go, a little bit more. So along that line, like, yeah, it certainly makes sense to think that it's all doable.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Ken has pointed out, you know, Ephesians 3, there's that Paul's prayer was that we be filled with the fullness of God. If Paul is praying it, it's something that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just glanced in here and saw a nice little scripture, and it seems to feel more today than, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you guys have gained a lot in all three of those. You know?
Mm.
Goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Mm.
That is a good fruit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
To be good and to be righteous and to be truth. Simple little things, you know.
Yeah. I wonder about that.
You know, the intent of the heart is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
It says in 1 John, the third chapter, it says it has not yet appeared what we're going to be. But when he appears, we're going to be like him. For we'll see him as he is. And now, I don't know if that's the same setting, or if it's in 1 Corinthians 2, where it says that he is going to come for those who love his appearing. Is that in the same setting? I'm not sure. 1 John 3:2.
3:2.
Yeah.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Oh, okay. That's not it. It must be the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard.
Has it entered into the heart of man?
Yeah. The thing that God has prepared. I mean, maybe that's still not it.
I'll tell you, after I read that little scripture, I'm shooting this in quick. When you said the intent of the heart, that really hit me.
That was good.
That affected me big time.
That's kind of like a prayer.
Yeah, and you know, you can, what I realize is you can know that the intent of your heart is to be there, but it can be so calloused over kind of in life, and you lose sight of it a lot of times. That was a great, by the Spirit, reminder to me.
Yeah.
What does it say in the second Timothy, or Second Corinthians?
So, I'm not buying it, Keith.
Yeah, Second Corinthians 2, you said 2:1? 2:2?
Oh, it's like 2:7 or 2:8, maybe.
7 is, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
What are you on?
1 Corinthians 2:7.
Yeah, he was talking about 2 Corinthians.
I thought he
might have switched.
I meant 1 Corinthians.
Oh,
I don't know.
From 1 Corinthians.
That's what I thought he said.
That could have been mistaken.
Yeah. All these young brains working here, you know.
Yeah. That's right, young brains.
First or second Corinthians, what's the big deal? It's Corinthians, right? But 1 Corinthians 2:10 is pretty good. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Okay, what it was before that.
Okay.
Nine.
Oh, nine. Okay, maybe the heart of man. Go ahead, Charles.
Things which the eye has not seen, neither ear has heard, neither can into man's heart are, which God hath prepared for them that love him. And that is from a as it is written. I wonder where it was written. I'm not finding that. Do you have that in your Thompson Chain there, Corky?
Possibly Psalm 64:4.
Could be.
I'm guessing. Looking.
Could be. Well, it's good enough that it is written. Ball reported was written.
It could be Isaiah. Excuse me.
What do you think it's Isaiah?
It could be Isaiah. I didn't quite understand the nomenclature there.
The things which God has prepared for them that love him. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I don't know what I said, but... But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Mm. For the Spirit searches all matters.
64:4.
All things. Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Mm-hmm. Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. How did I say that? How did I say that to us off?
I'm not sure.
That God has prepared for them that love him?
Yeah, we were...
That's what I meant
about,
to say.
Well, you could have prepared and then talked a little bit about the heart, and then this switched to from the heart to the Spirit, I think. But...
There is a place, though, where it's saying, Keith, what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
There's another setting where the cannot what God has prepared. How was it? It's who's saying? Is it Jesus or is it?
Well, 1 Corinthians 2:9, pretty good. All those things which God has prepared for them that love him.
How does it?
You know, I'm reading this Geneva Bible, but let's see. But as it is written, the things which the eye hath not seen, neither ear hath heard, neither came into the hearts of men, are which God hath prepared for them that love him.
That is it.
Yeah, and that it is referencing Isaiah 64:4, which is, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath by the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that is waiteth for him. And that's Old Testament. But it's basically saying it's a pretty wonderful thing and you can't quite comprehend it, what God's got waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. But in the course of the last few years, haven't we kind of lived in a place of expectancy?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We're looking for something that we never looked for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
longer than a couple of years, I'd say.
It's been quite a while.
I think we've learned to be expectant on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. See, I would... forgive me. I wasn't following you guys in Corinthians all that time, but yeah. It does say 64:4.
64:4, and it's very good. Yeah.
Let's see. That all starts back in 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then it says, I have not seen nor heard, you know. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
And that crucifixion really was a manifestation of the natural man, wasn't it?
But
it was ordained by God.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But hasn't
central to His plan.
Hasn't this whole thing increased our love for God?
Oh, yes.
You know? Yes, it is. It's like an expectancy.
Yes.
And I thought about it sometimes. I thought, what's it going to be like? You know, what the difference is going to be? It's like that one song that, what will I do or what will I say? I can only imagine.
Will I dance with joy or just be still in your presence? Yeah, it's a great line.
Did you guys ever see that movie?
I did. It's the movie of that song, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impactful.
Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Mm-hmm. I need to dwell on that a little bit too. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Don't you want to hear them? Aren't you interested in them?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's saying you can.
Most definitely.
They're there.
Yeah. That's where we've really changed. It's not that I can say that I ever didn't want it, but I really want it now.
Yeah, yeah, we can. We really can be drawn by a scripture like this. We can have it really resonate. Not that we have full understanding of it, but we.
Right.
We do.
A long time ago, we didn't know exactly what we were wanting. But now, you know, it's all tied in with spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And you can know a lot of things, because...
I'm chuckling because I was just thinking, you know, we've asked ourselves, you know, why have we been on the path we've been on? And God allowed us to see things, but we tended to see them more with a natural man's eye instead of a spiritual eye. And now He's allowed us to come back, and with that background of we thought this was so good, and to realize it really is a cheap imitation of what it can be. And there are few peoples, that will be able to say with confidence and authority, no. That looks good. That might even feel good. It is not what you want to seek. I've been there. I can tell you, this is oh so much better.
And so, while some people have ignorantly looked at us and said, all they do is they just preach to the choir. You know?
That's a really bad thought, because it applies to everybody who's a Christian.
Yeah.
Everybody in a denominational church is going to hear someone tell them what their doctrine already tells them. So anybody and everybody falls into that category. All you're doing, I mean, if you're a Baptist and they're telling you reading out of Baptist 101, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, it's a self-serving comment to try and diminish what God could be doing. Because we're at least open to the idea that we're going to get something different, something new. And those people don't have that.
in saying that, they're assuming that they know.
Yeah, it's...
And they're, by saying it, they're so far away from it. You know?
Yep, I do.
on the other hand, we should be striving for something more than, you know, regardless of whether or not their heart in saying that is, we need to be a little open to the extent to which it has a bearing on us. Mm-hmm. I'd rather preach to something more than the choir. Somebody more would come in.
Oh, I was trying to figure out where you were going with that.
Yeah, I didn't know for sure where you were going.
Yeah, I was like, well.
Well, I think in due time, that's going to happen.
Yeah, but there is a period of preparation. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't look at it as being so long.
No.
No,
that's right.
It's been a long time. But you know what?
Well, it's a natural man.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah,
God has let me
see. I mean, if you just notice, just recently, there's been some additions.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, actually, you could say almost double.
Pretty darn crowded place.
Can't really get a word in edgeways anymore.
Or find a seat to sit in.
I may need help in this or more enlightenment, but as I was listening to you talk, Charlie, what you say is true. And then the backside, I'm going, you know, and all I'm doing is I'm waiting on God. And then the argument is, well, maybe that's not what I need to be doing. I mean, the point of, we don't want to be preaching to just ourselves. If God wants us to be preaching, or God brings other people to be brought to, so I that's where I always struggle. Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't be satisfied with preaching to the choir. Now, that's not to say that we should be going out to the street corners and, you know, doing some half-baked thing. You know, that's not the fix. But we should never be satisfied with.
Yeah. Amen. Okay.
You know,
I can.
Our goal is to do something beyond what's, you know, you prepare for a thing. Soldiers trained to fight a war, you know.
Well, you're preaching to the choir if you're preaching what's always been preached.
Yes.
If you're preaching something new every time, you're not preaching to the choir.
Yeah, you're moving on to.
Yeah. So there's a little distinction.
That's a good distinction.
If that's the way they're saying preaching to the, you know, because if they're just, you know, repeating doctrine that's been repeated for 50-100 years, and it's not correct doctrine.
15 centuries.
Yeah, and it's not even correct.
Sure.
You know.
Not, yeah.
But both sides of that enter in. They do.
And it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would like to say, or humbly say, that we do not say the same thing. We say what God has given us to say today, and quite often what he has given us to say 3 months from now is not the same. So there's something new that's coming on a fairly regular basis. There's been some periods like we don't seem to have anything spark or light happen, but I'll tell you, it's been enough light and enough spark to keep me happy and motivated and moving forward for over 20 years, I think, is the current phrase we're using.
me too. I guess, as much as anything, the point I wanted to make is that there could be comments made about us which may not be coming from a good heart or a place of high spirituality, and yet we should not, you know, totally disregard them if there is an element of truth to it. You know, if there's...
Yeah.
You know.
And there is.
There is, yeah. Well, we should... You're exactly right. Even though they did, if, not saying they did, but if they did, if it was with a bad heart, and even though it was not intended to be a positive statement, nonetheless, we don't discard it out of hand because they said a mean thing and it wasn't right. I mean, we kind of go beyond and want to rise above that and say, you know, okay.
That doesn't mean you need to buy the whole thing in lock, stock, and barrel. You know, not at all.
Well, and then the thing, but the thing also is, but to make the statement, how much have they actually heard what's been said?
Well, exactly. Sure.
You know, if you just, they're still talking about the Word of God, or da, da, da. Yeah, well, they have no idea the depths that God has shown in some of that stuff. You know, it's like, so anyway, it doesn't bother me that you're a comment like that, because I know where I'm at for the most part, and I'm not concerned.
And God
for the most part.
That way God prepares in the way that God prepares, and for them to make some kind of, anybody make some kind of assessment of that is not right. You know. So
people could argue it's foolish.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And likewise for us to do that.
Yeah.
For anybody else, it would be foolish of us to try and pass a judgment without knowing, right? And so And hopefully we've been given enough to know that that is foolishness and we don't want to be part of that. I mean, I wouldn't want to assume where someone was at. Mm. Now, in 3 to 5 minutes, they could make 3 to 5 statements and then I could say, okay, and I have a much better understanding of where they're at. And maybe it's, I don't see many things the way they see them. But nonetheless,
there's a scripture where Paul says, and those who compare themselves to others are not wise.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems. The problem is that, we don't do it in our church that way. don't compare to your church. You know? Don't compare to this church. Compare to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together?
It's just sitting in 2 Corinthians 2.
Was it?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10:12. Do not compare yourselves with those who are commending themselves. So I just laughed. Every now and then I kind of go, I don't know why we waste all that time on the Gospels. I think you just really got to live hard in Corinthians, because
it's really a lot in 1 and 2 Corinthians lately.
I mean, there's some really good. I mean, every now and then there's a Hebrew and then there's Ephesians, and then you go to Philippians. But boy, we end up back in Corinthians a lot.
Mm,
yeah. So
yeah, for being such an unspiritual church, he's said some mighty spiritual things to them.
Mm. Yeah, but weren't they the ones that grasped the gifts the most? You know, I mean, but they, you know, like most of us, you had to get brought back in line because you probably got fanatical or something. Mm. Who knows? Well, they did a little bit, yeah, because
they tolerated sexual sin.
Yeah, their grace got overly.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you would say overly grace, but.
The actual 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. That was 12 and 13. But you know, in reading that now, I go, oh, because it brought it back to numbers, and I go, oh, that's easy to understand and natural. So I kind of missed it from, there's a way, don't well, how many people are speaking in tongues over here? How many people are having dreams over there? How many fruits of the Spirit are active here? I mean, and I actually remember conversations or comments being made where we were using that as, well, I don't know how well they're doing, or maybe we're not doing very well because we don't see these manifestations of the Spirit. And I think it's saying, yeah, you don't want to go there because God's still in charge, you know.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to ride through those times when you say, gee, I don't see a lot happening.
The fact is, we mature. And before we mature, we're immature.
No.
No, I can think of plenty of instances in which we were doing that thing that Paul says is not wise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Happened a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for such a Bible-sensitive church, we seem to gloss over that one.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be the bride company. We're really the tip of the spear of the bride company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okie dokie. What does that line up again here?
Yeah.
You know, we all have bad moments, and maybe it's not fair to kind of keep throwing up the same 4 or 5, but they're there for a reason.
Boy, yeah, right.
It'd be wrong to just ignore that. Don't look behind the closet.
It just seems so very, in my recollection of my early years, though, it just seemed like such a kind of a common practice. I remember hearing about the place down the street there, that where they thought, oh, it's sweet, but it's so shallow, you know.
That is so bad.
Yeah, right.
So many levels. Sweet, innocent, but, you know,
anyway.
Not enough meat.
Right.
Because I know what the meat is.
Yeah, we had teaching in our church. So.
Yeah. 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 What kind of struck me was even in the hierarchy, we would hear things like, back at the main church, they're just really materialistic. And us here, not in the big city, you know, we're a little bit more grounded because we're not so materialistic. You know, and I went, okay. But then we turn around and talk about how big it was and what a great sound system they had and how many people and all the rooms. And so we'd say, yeah, it's, you know, the American dream right there, you know. The bigger the church, the better it had to be. So what?
The bigger the church, the harder it fell, too. Huh?
Well, you know, every now and then whenever I'm trying to help make myself feel good about numbers or whatever, I go, you know, remember the time that God had his army and they were going along and they went out and up on around and it was hot and they come to the river and, you know, they all go down and he says, okay, hey, all those that didn't go down to throw themselves in the water to get refreshed, you know, what about the those that maintained a watch, you know, yeah, send everybody else home.
Yep. Gideon's army there, huh?
Yeah, and then, thanks, Gideon's army. So then it's like, they kind of go again, and he says, it's too big. You still take too much pride in this. Yeah, send them home, you know? He gets done with, like, yeah, 4 guys and a couple sticks. They go in and whoop up on him and go, that's impossible. Must have been God. Yeah, ding, 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 we have a winner.
Yeah, what do you get down to, 300? Was it?
Yeah, 300.
Down to 3.
I love that. When I first read that, I just knelt a knee and brought it up to there, but they were constantly looking, watching.
Being diligent.
Yeah.
Gideon's army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny. Because you look at the tactic they used in fighting Philistines or whoever it was, and it did kind of require there to be a small number. If it had been a sizable army, number of thousands, they wouldn't, you know, it was a deception that they imposed, making it look as though it was a huge group there, whereas, you know, if they were, it kind of required that it be a small number in order for them to pull off the deception.
Plan of the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Keith? How you been doing?
Good. I go from tired to tired, though.
Tired to tired.
Yeah.
Well, what's most important is you've got consistency in your life, and that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good today, though.
Mm.
I really gleaned a lot today.
Amen. Love you all.